And so, you know, that's one of our favorite songs, one of our favorite sayings here at Unity, that there is only love, we are only love. And so many times, as much as we say it, see it, believe it, so many times we just, this world does not picture that way. By the way, again, I'm Reverend Crystal Muldrill. You're at Unity Church in Albany, and we have been talking about how we are sacred grounds. We've been talking about Exodus 3. Yes, I hit the Bible. I'm hitting it hard. Last week, we talked about how we are holy ground. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. I will just go through the metaphysical meaning, and then we'll go into the scripture and the metaphysical meaning of the next section of it. So last week, we talked a lot about how we think that holy ground is something that is outside of us. It's this place, and most of the time we think it's a place in Europe, in Asia, Egypt, some faraway mystical place that we have to get to feel like there's a specialness. And I invite you to go to last week's talk because I go more into it. But we learn through the passage of Exodus 3 that we are the holy ground. It starts off talking about how Moses, who at this time has killed someone and he has run for his life. And he has run, he has met his new family with his wife, a priest by the name of Jethro. And one night while he is tending the flock, it is said that he moves to the west, the farthest realm of the wilderness, meaning that he has moved outside of himself as far as he can. He has killed someone. He has moved beyond his limits into the wilderness. And there he finds God. In the solitude with his flock, he finds that he, even in his situation, is with God. And God speaks in the burning bush. This burning bush is no particular special burning bush. Again, that's sacred ground. But God speaks to him because Moses sees this burning bush and he goes, "This bush is not being consumed. What's going on here?" What this means for us is that, and he then is asked to take off his shoes before approaching because he's on holy ground. We learned last week that this simply means that you need to put away your own interpretation, move away from your consciousness of this world of lack and limitation, take off your shoes, take off your earthly understanding, and realize that within you is something that is burning, that doesn't consume you, but lights a fire within you. And that is the Spirit of God. And if you allow this burning bush to bring you balance, to bring you into a spirituality, it will do that. But you have to be open to it. You have to take off your understanding. You have to allow this to happen. And at the end of this, it said that Moses realized that it was God who was speaking to him from the burning bush, and he hid. And I ended it there because that is so human, isn't it? We find ourselves in the wilderness. We've killed something or murdered something or wished something that we could murder. We're in a dark spot. Whether it's love issues, health issues, prosperity issues, whatever issues that have sent us to the wilderness, to the depths of the wilderness outside our knowing, we are there. And we realize that God speaks to us, that miracles happen. And what do? Oh my God, it's too awesome. We can't look. This is when we need to rise up to look, knowing that the presence and the power of God is there always, even at the ends of the wilderness, no matter where we are at, especially within us, is there. So the first part of the passage is, we are the sacred ground. We are the holy ground. It doesn't have to be outside of us. It is us. If we allow ourselves, if we continue to see it, because it is already true. This next section I will call the call. Once Moses realizes that he's on solid ground, we go into our next section, which is God calling to him. And I will start it off with an Oscar Wilder quote, where Oscar Wilde says, "Where there is sorrow, there is holy ground." And I think this passage speaks to it. So we're at this part where Moses has hid himself because God is talking to him. Exodus 3:7 says, "The Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and butter and honey, into the country of the Canaanites." The cry of the Israelites have now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people to the Israelites out of Egypt." But Moses said, "God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He, being God, said, "I'll be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you." And we'll continue from there next, or week after next. So I think it's obvious why I call this the call. God, at the burning bush of his soul, and again, the Bible, metaphysically, unity teaches that every part of the Bible represents a part of you and your consciousness, right? So that's why I keep saying that you are the burning bush. The flame is within you. You are Moses. Moses is that which either moves away or extracts from. He moved away from a violent situation, and he will extract the Israelites out of Egypt. And we also learned last week that we go into the space and place knowing that we are sacred ground, we are holy ground, so that we can extract that of the presence and the power of God. And we extract that so that we can move forward to this call. Move forward to the call, which is, "My people are suffering, and you need to go to Pharaoh to get them out of the suffering so they can be in a land of milk and honey." That's a spiritual calling. So what does Egypt represent? Now, there is a Hebrew word called, which is also the name of Egypt, which is Mazrim, which means a shut-in, restraint, misery. At this point in time, Egypt represents that which are people who are shut in, who are in misery. That represents, Egypt represents a part of us, a part of our consciousness that is infused in this place of our consciousness, of the world, of the relative world, of things, of objects. But it isn't of the relative world of sweetness. It is of those things that we're enslaved by. It is of the money of which we're enslaved by. It is by the fear that we're enslaved by. It's by those things that oppress us that we are enslaved by. Egypt, in this format, represents that. Israelites are also our representative. We want to find ourselves, move from a place where we are obscured, a place where we are enslaved, to a place where there are the Israelites, a place where we come from that of restriction to our spiritual journey, to our spiritual truth. And so what he is saying here, what is being said here, is that God wants Moses to extract the people from the misery, from the slavery they're in, to a place where there is a spiritual awakening, where there is a knowing that deep within, no matter what is going on, there is a truth that is light and that is joy. But we have to get to a place of knowing. We have to move out of the place, go to the Pharaoh that was, which is within us, which is that ruler of the place of oppression, of slavery. Also, the Pharaoh metaphysically represents the sun, which is also what the Pharaohs thought they were. They were the sons of God. They were God. And so they represent an aspect of a ruling class. So let me ask you this. Once God gave Moses the call, what was Moses' first reaction to God? Say it louder. Nope, I think Jordan said it. Who am I? That's our first knee-jerk reaction, isn't it? Who, me? Who, me? And Moses is so human. Here is God saying, I hear your cries. I hear your suffering. I hear you. You might not know I'm there. Moses, you're listening. You've paid attention. You've gone within. You've gone into the solitude. You realize holy ground. And in the holiness of you, you are hearing the messages that I'm giving to you. I hear the suffering of the people, and I am here to deliver you. Just follow me. Go to that which is deep within you and set them free. Tell the Pharaoh that is within you, release, let them go. Tell the Pharaoh that is holding you in that pain and that misery. Tell the Pharaoh that is holding you into a lack consciousness that is keeping you there to set yourself free. That is internally, and once you know that you have allowed the Pharaoh within you to be set free, then you will see the outpicturing of the world, that the Pharaoh of this world in this darkness will be set free. See, beloveds, it is a call way from the Old Testament, something that Jesus definitely teaches in the New Testament. And it's so easy, yet we're so fearful of not only hearing, but the obeying the messages of God. Knowing, she's obeying the message of God. She's about to feed two sweet twins. That is what we need to do. Feed the twins. Be of service. Answer the call. No longer being ruled by the Pharaoh. So, how do we do this? One of the reasons why I will be very honest with you is I'm answering the question about who am I? This whole going to the scripture happened because with our talk being the church's talk about being a refugee church, our talk about social action, this change and the shift in our consciousness in the soul of this ministry has brought up some grumblings, honestly, and that's good, because shifts are happening. Shifts are supposed to happen, and change happens, and the grumblings are supposed to come up. And the situation is, it's that people have asked, why, ask me, and some of the board members, why is this ministry getting political? It has happened a number of times, that we are, church and state should be separate. I totally and completely agree. And I give you this because this church's move to being a refugee church, which, by the way, in the town hall a couple of weeks ago, that question was brought up. And for the people who were in there, I believe it was unanimous, 100% that this ministry moved forward to being a refugee church. And that doesn't mean that we'll have people housed in our basement. We don't have that facility. But what it means is that we join a consciousness, join a movement, because it has been asked to us, who am I? And we are saying that we are the people who are doing the call that God has told us to do, which is to help our people. Doing the call of God that this scripture and that so many scriptures say that is ours to do. For people, if we are unity, then we must realize that we are one. We can speak it, we can say it, we can love it to death verbally, but until we embrace it, totality in our individual lives and in our community as one, then it's just words. It's just pure entertainment. I'm just speaking beautiful things to you. You might as well just leave. It's about a call to action. And God calls us to action whether we agree with the refugee. It might not be yours. But what is your call to action? See, the situation is that this is a humanitarian situation. Our people are suffering all over the place, all over the world. We say God is everywhere present. God is hearing the cries of the Israelites, no matter what part of the country they are in. And the Moses within each and every one of us is calling to us, saying, go to the Pharaoh to set the people free, no matter where they are in the world. People know that I am a bodhisattva, ordained bodhisattva nun. And yes, Christianity, Buddhism is the same thing. I'm making the story very short, but there's a story of a bodhisattva who was beloved by earth, by the animals, by the trees, by the ground. And he became enlightened, so enlightened he was ascending. And as he was ascending, the birds started crying, the animals started crying, the earth started crying. And because he's so compassionate, he came back down and he said, my God, why are you, not God, but my, why are you crying? What's wrong? And the land said, you are so good. You are so compassionate. You are such a light that we fear that if you ascend, all the goodness will ascend with you. Compassion, and i.e. the reason why bodhisattvas are bodhisattvas, is that there's a realization that we are one, and if I ascend, I cannot ascend unless we all ascend. I might become enlightened, but an enlightened being realizes that I cannot be fully enlightened unless we are all enlightened, because we are all one. If my brother is homeless, if my sister is without food, she is me, I am her. We are called by scriptures, no matter whether it's biblical, in the Hindu, in the Buddhist scriptures, in all sacred text, it states that we are one and we are here for one another. So what this ministry is called to do, and what I do the lead for, no matter how scary it might seem, is to say we're not about just the talk. The talk is about a form of changing our consciousness. Now that we're changing the inside, it is time to make sure that the world around us shifts. Because it's easy to move forward, and I love the who am I, and I love this, you'll hear it more and more, is the Marianne Williamson quote that you've heard 1,000 times, but I think it's worth 1,000 times hearing again. So anytime you hear who am I, grab this, because it states the truth. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that we most fear. We ask ourselves, who am I? To be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous. Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We're all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. We all have a Moses call to shine brightly No longer be fearful of the power that is us. And that power is God moving in through and as us. It is time to take the torch, shine brightly, stop hiding underneath the bushel. Do you realize, I double-checked this morning some figures. I looked at the United Nations Refugee Agency. Can anyone take a quick gander as to how many refugees, people have been forcibly displaced worldwide? It's the most current data. It's current, at least on their agency. Just a quick guess. 2 million, larger than 2 million. Larger than 50 million. Lower than 100 million. It's 68.5 million people have been forcibly displaced worldwide. And that's a large number, but I want you to grab hold of the number in a different way. I also looked at the 2017 census. New York City. Picture of New York City. We're not talking about Manhattan. We're talking about all the boroughs. 8,622,000, I'm rounding up. Think about the congestion and New York. That's 8 million. That's just 8 million. Add on the second largest city, Los Angeles. 4 million. Let's top it off. Los Angeles has 4 million people. Add on Chicago, 2,716 people. Add on the fourth, 2,312. Add on the fifth. That was Houston, Phoenix. 1,626. Those are the top five United States. Adding those together, that only makes 19,278 million. Multiply, let's round up, 20 million people. Five largest cities, 20 million people. Now multiply that by three. And we still haven't hit how many homeless have been forcibly out of their countries, out of their homes with nothing. My beloveds, the refugee situation, families being separated from families, that might be something that was done by our government for policy reasons, but it is not political. Making sure that people are homed and fed and find safety, that's humanitarian. Let me say that again. Our government, other governments might have done things that are political, but the people being forced out of their homes, their lives being forced to change and shift. 68 million people who have been forced out of a home, forced out of their culture, forced out of their lives. That's not political. That's our call to realize that they are us and we are them. That is our call to remember that we are holy ground. It is us to shine the light, remembering that we are the holy grounds, so that we can let them know that they are holy ground. To let them know, no matter what their religious denomination, no matter what their thoughts, that all spiritual truths show that they are beautiful and that God loves them, even though it might not be planted right here. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is darkness in this world and we claim that we are all the light, that just means that we're not stepping in. Let me tell you that again. If we claim that we are the light of the world and there is darkness in the world, that means that that part of the world is absent of us. It is time for us to step into all darkness and shine the light. So I leave with you for this week. Extract the good of God for yourself. Be the model. Be the example of truth for those who have not gotten there yet. To show each and every person that they are holy ground and that they deserve our love just as much as anyone else. So with that, our affirmation for this week. Allow me to just sit back. Allow me just to say it by myself. Listen to the words. Breathe it in, and then we'll say it together. I am free and unlimited, empowered to share this earth peacefully with all of life. Just breathe that in. Visualize that. Own it. Breathe it out. And let's say that together. I am free and unlimited, empowered to share this earth peacefully with all of life. Yes, we are. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.